teriyaki.
So, Jeremy, describe for the audience what you're eating right now.
So, it's two snakes. And they're attached to the hip. And they're like brothers, but they're like a fraternal twin sort of situation.
And this is a gummy candy, so it's not a real snake.
That's right, yeah.
That's what we're looking at right now.
So they're twins, but they're not identical. It's important you know that.
They're just...
Because one of them's sour, but the other one...
The other one's sweet.
The other one's sweet, yeah.
Which means the sour one is a boy snake, and the sweet one is the girl snake.
You don't know that.
The two snake genders.
You don't know that. You don't know that, and
look,
I'm...
you're either born a sour snake or you're born a sweet snake.
It's problematic that you would say that.
I don't want anybody coming in my house telling me that they're a different kind of snake than they was before.
There are two snakes.
Going to the snake
there
factory.
Are two types of snake.
There is one god, and he is a snake, and he has made twin snakes representing his and hers hermaphroditic origin.
There are two genders, sour snake and sweet snake.
All right, I rest this forum. Welcome back for another episode of Ballin' Out.
Good times.
I'm very ill here in the Alex Patak recording studios with my lovely co-host, Christmas KRL, Katie Rose Leon.
Hi, I'm sitting close to the floor and I'm mildly terrified of your cat.
Waffles the cat. He's sniffing. You can't really hear it. And then Jeremy College Hammond.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I'm eating snakes.
It's also, I mean, I know we've already discussed this several times, but it's that transition where it gets dark so early
right.
that it feels a million hours late right now.
Right. Because you're recording 1 minute and then you look outside and you're like, is my soul out there? Hmm. It's darkness as far as I can see. I'm like under the weather, gang. I'm not going to be at my best today. I'm going to be real with you about it. I'm going to be trying so hard, and it might get sad at some points.
Yeah, so
folks
may remember last week I was sick. This week, Alex is sick. Connection? Hard to say.
It's impossible to know. Jeremy did finish 80% of Red Dead Redemption while sick, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, I am very far into it now.
It's pretty much, I don't have the capacity to be a real man, but I can be a cowboy.
Well, you guys may remember from last week that I was talking about how I was largely spending my game time robbing people and shooting horses.
Shooting horses.
I've moved
defenseless
on from
horses.
That. I've moved on from shooting horses. I am now really into doing X Games style tricks on my horses.
Oh, damn.
Doing like big, like 360s down cliff faces.
Are you skidding to a stop with
oh,
R1
you know
and square?
You know I'm skidding.
R1 and the X button. I don't remember which one's which. R1 and square is to rear your horse, which is not a practical move, but a move for style.
It's
not to
fun.
Pull an Alex here, but back to shooting horses. I feel like we really missed an opportunity for they shoot horses, don't they joke here. Which is a classic film about the dance marathons of the Depression. Hey, gang. But that's the title of the movie.
I thought you were going to say we missed an opportunity to just do heroin.
Mm.
Which we didn't really miss that opportunity. It's always looming in the background like yeah. darkness outside my window.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am from Long Island, and the opiate crisis has been raging there long before it caught up with the rest of the country.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, the waves on Montauk are thick this year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure, we were killing ourselves with poison before it was cool.
You guys are in front of everything. But you know, it's been an exciting week for all of us. We have some hot content queued up that we're going to show Katie soon. Jeremy and I have both seen it, but we'll get there in a second. Does anybody have any exciting stories of the week?
That's the problem. I think we've all had a very quiet
we
zone.
Have, but we're lucky because it was a big week in relevant anime news.
Time sure. for another relevant anime news recap.
Relevant anime news.
Not always relevant, but sometimes it's fine.
Sometimes elephant, right? I'm trying.
Yeah.
Anyways, big headlines this week. Number one, the I'm sorry. What?
No. What were you saying?
himself losing his mind because he's sick.
It's
he's
fine. It's it was good. I'll take it out. What are you saying?
The one of the big headlines this week is the what is it, the state senator who wrote What the Dragon?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what a nightmare that week was for me. Let me explain something to you fine people who give us money and I feel bad for what I'm about to say. I have phone anxiety sometimes. I have regular anxiety too. But when my phone anxiety manifests is every time I get a text message or any notification noise, I feel like there's been a small explosion in my heart. There's like a bird that lives in my chest and it's trying to claw its way out with its meaty hook claws. So when every time I look down at my phone, I think it's going to be something bad, like my bank account's empty or someone, another person in my family died. So imagine my stress when nonstop all day my phone's going off and I can't mute it because I'm expecting to hear back from a job. And it's just people telling me, hey, did you hear the guy who wrote What the Dragon got voted into Texas Senate? Pretty cool. 30 times.
It hurts when I laugh.
It was an emotional.
It's a big deal. This is a man. This is an artist who was alone in his garage, scrappy. He had nothing. He has the whole future in front of him. It's just him and his friends. And he's sitting down. He's tapping a pencil on a desk. And he's like, you hear that? I'm hearing dragon, dragon. What the dragon? And they're like, all you got is a dream, Kenneth.
Actually, I will say it's a really nice, like, inspirational story about getting, like, a second act in life. Like, yeah, you could put all you could be the What the Dragon guy, and you could be a politician a few, you know, a decade later. So yeah.
See, I picture him being like, he got the big Funimation contract, and they're like, listen,
you sold out, What the Dragon guy.
You gotta write us the theme song for this new Dragon Ball Z. And he's like, dragon? Dragon? What?
What the dragon?
What the dragon? Or additionally, it could have been that he was like, he's been suffering over it for weeks. And he's like, I don't know what to do, man. And
I know we're doing dragon and then possibly a second dragon. But after that, it's a blank.
Well, his friend goes to see the Mortal Kombat movie, right? And it's got that theme song, the Mortal Kombat. And so he calls him up on his phone and he's like, hey, Dragon Ball Senator guy, you know how you've been looking for that dragon sound all week? Well, listen to this. And he's like, I can't hear it. What the dragon? Wait.
I think it might be more in the realm of
Waffles,
the DuckTales theme. I've told you guys about the oral history of
no.
So basically, the guy who wrote the DuckTales theme was just this like struggling musician, and somebody wanted to just like throw him a bone, and they're like, "Hey, this show is like looking for something," and he was kind of pissed about it. So the lyrics, like, it's a duck blur or completely like just kind of like fuck you throwaway lines, and then it's like his most well known thing of all time. So I think like What the Dragon guy is like this goddamn bullshit. Like,
hey, I don't want to be DuckTales guy.
Well, I think he just wrote it, you know.
The DuckTales song fucking slaps, though.
It does slap.
No, yeah, musically.
A lot of our listeners are too young, I think, to probably have heard the DuckTales song, but you gotta like go back, find it on the internet, because it's better than the show.
Have you guys ever heard the X-Files song story? Where it's like the guy got the deal, and he's like trying to come up with the song, and he doesn't know anything about the show except like it's about aliens and it's kind of spooky. And so he puts on the spookiest setting on his keyboard, and then he just improvises this song that goes, this show is called X-Files with music by Mark Gray.
Is that real?
That's totally true, yeah. There's like a video of him on YouTube talking about how he did it that way.
That's adorable.
That song is very scary. You know, television brings us such fantastic songs over the years. Take a look into the lives of the great artisans.
But you know what else it brings us sometimes? Great Big Balloons.
I was about to say.
Which brings us to our other big headline of the week.
Relevant anime news. Hey, good Christian families that listen to Patreon bonus episodes of Ballin' Out Super.
Gathered around by the fire.
You will be excited to hear that there's a new addition to Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Yes, all your favorites. Santa. Charlie Brown, the
evil Jewish Santa,
the Disney actors you don't know singing lip syncing pop songs you haven't heard of, and now Goku Blue.
I thought it was an interesting choice they jumped right to blue. What are they trying to say?
Well, I think like blue is can be associated with cold. It's a cool color. Right? Uh-huh. Winter is cold.
Yeah.
In
reminds
that,
you of being on a ranch.
In that claymation Santa movie, the ice guy is blue. Goku blue.
Snow Miser.
Merry Christmas. Uh-huh. This is what I understand about Christmas.
That's right. That's what it's like.
Now, I'm very excited because I will likely get to go to the Thanksgiving parade this year.
Oh, you get to go?
Yeah, well, it's a ticketed event.
It is?
You have to buy tickets.
Oh, I just thought no one would want to be there.
No, nobody wants to be there.
Your fiance works
for
the
government. Yeah, my fiance works for the government.
Everyone who works for
tickets.
The city is forced to go look at a giant blow-up doll of Snoopy and go, wow, I woke up so early, and look at this big fucking dog. Right around town. Oh, god damn it.
Anyway, I've been before, and Katie was talking about the lip-syncing Disney Channel actors. You know what's very funny is that they only do that for that one part of the show. And then the rest of the time,
they're just
standing on the same float, just waving at people. And it's so weird.
It must feel nice to get recognized for your great lip-syncing.
I was in marching band, surprise, surprise, in middle school and high school.
I have to take another sip because I spit it all over the floor when I heard that. I was so surprised.
And my band director was... So there was good band and bad band, and I was in bad band. And bad band director was obsessed with regaining his glory days, in which our marching band went to the Rose Bowl in 84. And he wanted us so badly to get into the Thanksgiving Day parade. He made us, like...
And you personally guaranteed that he was not going.
Oh, you know it. So marching band uniforms have special shoes. The shoe brand are called Dinkles. And my Dinkles, let me tell you, they did not fit.
Miss Rose Leon, why are there wrinkles on your Dinkles?
So I just wore my combat boots and taped the Dinkles on top of them, and he did not notice it for part of the video.
Hell yeah.
And he got very sad, and he's like, it's your fault if we don't go Macy's Day. I'm like, I think it's the whole band's fault because we're all high. No one can remember how to play
Katie,
El Capitan.
It is the fault of you and your bullshit Dinkles.
Do you think the judges are looking at those Dinkles and buying us a bus pass, Katie Rose?
Would you look at those Dinkles and buy a bus pass?
My wife will not meet me in the eyes anymore. Now that I do not get to march at the Thanksgiving Day parade.
I dropped out after my sophomore year, and I have this really like clear memory of me failing a math test, like just taking it and like I know I'm failing it, and looking out the window and the band's practicing and they're playing Disco Inferno. Nice. So as I'm like laboring over this problem, I just hear it's like fall in the abyss. Anyway,
that could have been you.
Moral is, fuck parades.
Mm-hmm. Fuck parades.
Fascist. Yeah, fuck parades.
Parades are fascist.
Parades are fascist.
They're an authoritarian loves lines. I have some interesting band stories because I was in band in high school. Not the marching band, just the band class. And I was pretty good at playing the saxophone, but I essentially stayed back in the bad band because I made it my mission to drive the band teacher out of her mind. And so I would play little tricks on her every day, like because like there was a big enough class, it was kind of hard to stand out because they were all trying to drive this woman insane, and she was just like an old spinster who was teaching the band. And people would switch instruments, so like I just played a trumpet for 2 days in my friend's seat, and she was like, "Something's off." And I don't know what it is, but the whole thing's off. And she'd like go down the line, each person trying to play a part. My friend Max, who did not know how to play saxophone, just trying to play saxophone in front of her. And then there was one day where I just wanted to see how long I could curl up in a ball in front of the door while people were walking past before anyone made a comment. And it was like 15 full minutes. Like the class started and she started doing the songs before she noticed that there was a large part missing. And it was just like, wait, he's been over there the whole time.
You're just harassing a senile old woman.
Basically, yeah. That's a big part of the middle school experience.
That's
I find
elder
though.
Abuse.
This was high school.
You should have been bullied more, Alex.
Such a pain
was too
in the
big.
Ass.
I was too big.
You were a huge pain in the ass kid.
You should have been bullied. You definitely needed to be pushed down a couple of times.
Yeah.
I wanted to be that class clown, but that was a male assigned role. So when we got to high school, I got usurped.
Oh damn, that's
they just like I'd be like saying what I thought was like very like witty Oscar Wilde bullshit, and then some guy would be like, "Yeah, but you're a fag though," and everyone would be like, "Oh, go Steve, he's so funny."
Steve, and then Steve's like doing the Charleston.
Damn, Steve rules.
Okay, we have one more anime headline to get into.
Okay,
which is the announcement or the release of the trailer for Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
So I've not heard about this.
You're wild for this one.
This is a movie?
This is a movie.
Okay, it's not a video game?
I hadn't heard about this either. Jeremy, you
haven't
heard
about it. I'd heard all about it. I was following the casting. I knew all about it.
Wait, okay. So it's a real...
Yes, I don't understand. Feature length, real
who
movie.
Made it?
So we're just gonna start playing the trailer. And just I want you to just... say how you're feeling as this goes on, okay?
Okay.
So, because it affected me very strongly earlier today, and we're playing now.
Welcome to Rhyme City.
A celebration of
the harmony between humans and Pokemon.
Oh, white people, great.
Rule number one. Look how expensive
your
this
time
is.
That's what I am really taken aback by.
If you
there's money in
like
this.
I'm not. It's actually not white people. It's like
it's a very multi-ethnic.
It's an 80s rainbow coalition of Pokeballs. Yeah,
it's really a specifically not out. Japanese group of people.
Right. We have to stay united against the Japanese. That's what the movie's about.
Alright,
I'm pausing here.
Wait, is that a gun?
Does he have a gun?
No, that's a stapler.
Is the stapler. Is it supposed to be funny that it's a stapler? Because I'm willing to believe that children are just given guns.
So when you told me this is a movie.
Uh-huh. I mean, the best part's still coming.
Couple things came to mind.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
First, I assumed it would be animated.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It is not. Two, I'm with Alex. I am shocked how much money was clearly put in this.
Because
then when it was not animated, I'm like, well, it's going to be like the fucking live-action Power Rangers that came out that was like sponsored by Krispy Kreme. No? there's clearly a lot of money. And then it's clearly Western.
It's coming in hot on the heels of the success of Pokemon Go. I think is what it is.
That's smart. I mean, Pokemon is having a renaissance, I guess.
Pokemon Go to the production company.
Well, I guess like to us, we were here when it came out, like we were of age, but like, you know, we're old as fuck now. So like there's a whole group of kids. There's like a new crop of people to sell shit to. So I'm just, let's finish it.
Okay, so then we have to watch at least another 20 seconds.
No, I need to see the whole thing.
We'll watch the whole thing.
No juices.
Wait, what's happening?
Here we go.
Wait.
I know you can't understand me. But
what?
Put down the stapler or I will electrocute you.
Oh, I hate this. I hate this.
What if Pikachu was Deadpool?
Oh my god, you can understand me. Stop. I've been so lonely.
I do like that they're doing the original Pikachu voice.
You can hear him, right?
Pika Pika.
Yeah.
No, I
hey, who's excited?
You're adorable. They can't understand me, kids.
He's so furry.
He's so fucking furry.
No, the texture's cute. Period. I don't mind the animation. It's just like, didn't we learn anything from Ted? Like, we don't need
Yeah, right.
All right, we're going to pause here because there is another minute of just Pokemon things. But yeah, it's affecting everyone.
No, we need to finish this.
Here's the thing. The Pokemon look great, but like Pikachu is like a beloved cutesy child character. Putting Ryan Reynolds as the voice of him is just like, who is this for then? Because it just doesn't work. Because the only reason you would do that is to appeal to like bros.
Are we living in a world where Ted wasn't a wild success in the market?
I know. It just makes me mad. This should be for kids. If you're gonna give a Pikachu a voice, it should be like a little boy's voice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and
so let's just
explore.
But
he's got to be a detective in this.
So just
he's got to be a grizzled Pikachu.
A voice. He's a fucking animal.
Maybe Raichu can be Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Chu Reynolds. You have to have like a Ryan Reynolds in here. Yeah, make him a secondary character or the villain.
The thing is, whatever you make Ryan Reynolds, he's gonna be hot.
If
you make him the Pikachu, now it's a hot Pikachu.
We're burnt out. It's just a burnt out society on Ryan Reynolds content.
Yeah, I thought he got canceled after Green Lantern, and then yet we keep giving this fucker movies, and
no,
it's
we
too
gave him
close
the biggest
eyes.
Second chance we've ever given anybody, and now he's just running away with it.
He's running amok because he's Deadpool. He can't be killed.
He's going all the way to the fucking
He can't
bank.
Be killed.
He's like the kid from Stranger Things. He's the little toothless kid from Stranger Things where he's just like, well, everybody likes me, so I'm here forever now, and you're going to see me everywhere.
I do ads for internet speed.
Jesus Christ, that kid is on my last nerve.
I just don't get his appeal at all. I've always hated him.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
because
he's
him.
Sassy, but he's also just Hollywood handsome.
He's always been the Van Wilder guy. He's the guy who made
did
the
you see
guy.
Just Friends? I always really
was
liked
Paul
Just
Rudd
Friends.
Not available to be Pikachu for this goddamn movie.
That's true. Paul Rudd would have been a better Pikachu.
God, fuck.
All right, let's finish this trailer.
I just don't feel like we have to finish the trailer because it's going to be another minute of us yelling what at a Pokemon trailer.
Come on.
Okay.
I just need to see it.
Hitting
just,
play.
We don't have to talk over it. We'll just.
Well, that's why I figured we could watch it later. But okay, we're going to hit play now.
Well, you're the one who wanted to watch it on the show.
The Charizard was great.
There's magic that brought us together. And
that magic is called hope. Listen up.
I love Mr. Mime. Tell us
what we want to know. Pipe. Yes. Okay. I can. Shoving. Pushing. My problem is that I push people away and then
once
hate
again,
them for
who
leaving.
Is this movie for?
It's a gritty Pokemon.
It's for me now.
In a lot of ways, it's like the venom of Pokemon.
It's like the venom of Pokemon.
Jeremy's going to pay full price to see this movie three times.
I'm definitely seeing this shit. We're doing a special episode of it.
Oh, hell yes. I got AMC movie pass, baby.
You have to pay for it.
You do get paid to see it.
Not enough.
Oh, it's good to laugh.
I hate.
Anyway, the future's full of exciting content as all of California is on fire.
wishing you the best, Nate.
Yeah.
I hope you're doing okay.
Hang 10, broski.
Remember when we sent that army to stop like 10 refugees from entering the country?
and then sent child prisoners to fight the force.
and then sent the
army to the wrong place. They're not even going to where the
and now California's just on fire. Like, couldn't we just send a couple of those dudes to, like, I don't know, help put the fire out?
You know, I'm so behind this caravan. Like, their Cinderella story of escaping the U.S. Army. It's heroic. Oh, damn. Caravan, come on the podcast.
KRL.
Domelo.
I'm like mad you guys showed me that trailer. It just like ruined my entire day.
You didn't like the Mr. Mime part?
I just am so mad about this. It's okay to make
cool.
a movie for kids. It's okay. Not everything has to be for everyone. We all need to grow the fuck up. And I know the irony of saying this on this fucking show. But it's like, okay. to openly admit that some things are for kids. That show, that movie should have been just a straight up kids movie. If it was just like made for kids with like kid voice actors and stuff, adults would have seen it anyway. You know what I mean? It's just fucking making me so angry right
Katie,
now.
Katie, I'm going to ask you to grab a twin snake.
So I'll stop talking because they are too chewy.
No, I'm just, it's funny that we're sitting in a room doing our anime podcast while eating twin snakes.
Listen, I'm full of contradictions, baby. I'm fucking twin snakes.
Contains multitudes. Okay.
You know who else contains multitudes? General Rildo.
Let's get into the episode.
Okay, on this very exciting episode of Dragon Ball GT, the source of Rildo's power. Now, before we get into it, what would you guess the source of Rildo's power might be? His good looks? His charm and grace?
Electricity.
Yeah.
Robot.
It's a plug. It's a plug that goes into the wall.
As when we last left our heroes...
He's more of a Hitachi type, you see.
He's like a Hitachi magic wand hero.
It's one of 10 batteries I carry around during my dog walking.
You see, Goku, only C batteries keep me moving, and the entire planet is made of C batteries. When we last left our intrepid heroes, Goku was fighting General Rildo, who was powered up so that he had a mask and a shirt and a drill for a hand. And he was Mecha Rildo, and it was fucking on.
And they fought, and then they're like, just kidding about that, Rildo.
Yeah, they fought, and all of that stuff kind of gets... Well, we'll get there, I guess, because it starts very Mecha Rildo heavy, because he's doing metal blasts out of his mouth, and Goku's blasting the metal blasts, and then they miss, and they hit the forest and turn the whole forest metal, and then he makes his hand, which is a drill, into a super big drill, to the point where you're looking at it, and you're like, who's going to buy this drill? It's too big. What are you going to do with this? The big dig? It's over. That's a Boston regional joke.
What is the Big Dig?
The Big Dig was one of the largest infrastructure programs in the United States, and it just finished, and it was digging a tunnel under Boston to make a highway.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It was like a highway, like a bypass, so that they didn't have to cut it through the city?
Yeah. Smart. I mean, but they were working on it forever, and yeah. One year somebody got crushed by a falling ceiling panel in the tunnel to the point where you're like driving in there, and you're like, am I going to be fucking suddenly crushed to death? But then you'll move on with your life. Surprised you didn't know about that one. But
I am surprised too.
Ugh.
Anyway, that's what Rildo's bringing to the table here. He makes things metal and starts discussions. Meanwhile, after they show us enough battling to get your little teeth, your teeth ready. Uh-huh. To get enough battling to get your teeth ready.
Uh-huh.
Pan is chasing Giru through the factory. She's chasing him and she wants his Cocoa Puffs.
Uh-huh. It's cruel to make Alex do this right now.
She's chasing him and an alarm is going off and she's upset. And Giru just keeps getting away because he's a wascally wabbit.
Uh-huh. So I think at this point, it's important to point out, Jeremy made the point that this episode is a straight up fever dream. We will try and talk about it, but it's like things just keep repeating and you...
And there was something weird in the sound design in this episode. Where, like,
it's quiet.
It's really quiet. There's not enough, like, sound effect. There's not enough score. Everything feels really quiet all the time.
Well, we should mention we're watching on DBZ11.DragonFuck, and the sound is totally... There's no new metal guitar. There's, like,
quiet... Yeah, they
quiet.
Put the English dub over the Japanese soundtrack, so it just sounds a lot
It's
different.
Almost soothing. Like, Goku will be fighting a giant drill, and it's like...
Yeah, I didn't know.
And, like, they'll, like, blast a Kamehameha, and the sound is just like... Boom.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's extra weird for me because I already feel like I have a stuffy head or whatever, and like kind of lightheaded, and then there's just like this flashing sequence of images with no sound that don't make any sense, and I'm kind of questioning if you guys are even like here or not.
We're not.
I hope you are, because otherwise I'll have to do this later. So Pan's chasing Giru through a factory. Giru is the class traitor who must be destroyed. Giru is Trotsky. He's betrayed the revolution of Dragon Balls. So meanwhile, back to Rildo and Goku. Rildo has lost his shirt, which is, I think, what the fans wanted.
Yeah.
Because Rildo's daddy.
Because Rildo's daddy. Rildo's yoked up. He's a big old beef.
He's got meaty legs but no ass. That's his decision he made as a body sculptor. And then we find this is even more true because he sucks in an entire tree into his body, and he looks like in Super Smash Brothers when you hit the metal box and you go like totally metal. He's kind of like Cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he looks even more like daddy now.
I liked metallic Rildo.
Metallica.
I think he looked like a buff Silver Surfer. Roided out Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Silver Surfer is buff. But
he's Silver Surfer, but he's like yelling at you at dinner too much. He's like unreasonable.
He looks like if Mark McGwire got the metal cap from Super Mario 64.
Exactly. And you know what? That when this came out, that's probably like what an editor yelled at an animator.
Yeah, one guy made him
give
like two things.
Give me Mark McGwire!
I want Sammy Sosa.
We're trying to make cash, Neil. Do you
Silver
understand
Surfer
that?
Sammy Sosa.
Money talks. So Rildo is extra daddy, and then he keeps morphing like the Terminator 2000 and becoming a sea of metal and turns into a forest of metal, to which Goku is like, haha, gotta laugh, because Goku has one response to everything because of how much damage his brain has accrued.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Pan is jumped on by robots, and then she blows them up and they fall off a bridge. And then, so she's just exploring this factory this whole episode, looking for Trunks, who's frozen in carbonite.
Right, and the walls keep coming alive and spinning her out, right?
Right, the alarm system is like these retractable walls that kind of suck her into different rooms. And every time she's swallowed by the walls, you're kind of like, oh, she'll be crushed to death by walls. But no, it's just for play. they're just walls. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. Walls. I needed a security system that's hilarious. Just get it done.
Did we mention that Rildo's whole thing is that he's like, I am the entire planet?
Well, we're getting there. Oh. So that happens right
Spoilers.
Now.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Okay, so Rildo, he's turned into a tree. He's turned into a big orb of metal, and now he's just sunk into the ground, and he keeps popping out, and he says, surprise Goku, I am Metal Planet, da 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 da.
Like, everything on the planet which is metal is part of me, and I can control at whim to
it's like a comment on recycling.
I just you know. And then Goku's like, yeah, I fucking knew that.
Yeah. Goku is like, he really laughs it off. He's like, haha, I love that.
He's like a mix of T2 Terminator, Captain Planet.
He's like an evil Captain Planet.
And,
that's
and
what
Magneto.
I keep thinking of.
He's also got some Magneto in
He's
there.
He's like, if you were fighting against a planet, it would be, that's what Rildo is. And also, he's like, just kind of hot. He's just like, you can't deny it. He's just got like a smooth.
I think you're getting smooth. Like being aerodynamic confused with being attractive.
Is that what women want?
Is he aerodynamic?
I feel like he's so aerodynamic.
Yeah,
Are you kidding me?
What? He's so wide, he'd have so much wind resistance.
Yeah, but except when he can
he's
change
a
into
metal
a sharp
bullet with a shiny
he's
dildo
a bullet.
Head.
He has a drill for a hand. You put him in front of Neil Armstrong because he makes him go even faster, and Neil's gonna still take the win. You go, Neil
Armstrong. I was like,
I meant Lance Armstrong.
You had to be aerodynamic to get into space.
Look, last weekend I called Jeff Sessions Jim Sessions, and I don't think Jake took it out of the podcast, and people are gonna think I'm dumb as shit.
I called him Peel Sessions.
I have what's called young person Alzheimer's, and it's a very serious condition where you don't pay attention to anyone's names or remember things good.
That's okay. On the new 2 minutes episode, I called, I mixed together Jerry Only and Doyle Von Frankenstein and called them Jerry Doyle.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Well, let me tell you, our fans will know.
They sure will.
And they're going to be like, that's such a Jeremy thing to say.
Yeah, yeah, he's such a poser.
You're a fucking poser. You poser ass bitch. Rildo would suck you into a planet. Rildo would make you a bridge. You bitch ass poser.
Yeah, dude, it's all I want.
Here's the question. Rildo's the planet.
Yeah.
First of all, like, what is keeping the structure of the surface of this planet spherical and together? Is there some sort of nucleus, like, gravitational pull to the center?
He does sit-ups. He does
what
all the
strong
sit-ups.
Core.
Yeah, he gives him core strength. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. It's just like, it's just time at the gym, you know?
Or do you think it's like a Borg situation where, like, although there's lots of sentient robots on the planet, it's all one hive mind.
Ooh.
And so there is no center because they're all, like, interlaced.
That's what I think it is, but also I think it was a planet that they Borgified by spewing metal onto it. Mm. I think there's a planet under it.
But he says, I am the whole planet.
That's true.
And the whole planet's made out of metal. We have only seen one organic bush that Pan hid behind.
In a way, General Rildo is Jill Stein. Because his radical environmentalism comes at a stark cost.
Great.
Uh-huh.
And that's spoiling elections.
It's so cool.
To help Putin. Big Daddy Putin.
It's a fight between Goku and Putin.
Leftist anime podcast. You guys listening? Hello, is this on? Hi.
In a way, General Rildo is Giannis Varoufakis. Turned against the Greek Freedom Party or whatever they were fucking called. I don't remember.
The Bread Book.
Jim Sessions.
All right.
Hey, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so meanwhile, so they battle and he's like the whole planet. Goku kind of gets owned this whole episode. They cut to Dr. Mew, who is laughing. My man laughing. He has a great quote where he says, "This is one of the days that makes life worth living," which made us say, "Nice, man." You know how to fucking hang, dude. He's like looking at Trunks frozen in carbonite, thinking, I got this whole Super Saiyan. I got a dog on my feet. I got a cold beer in my hand. Life is worth living.
This man knows exactly what I'm Super Saiyan.
Yeah. Dr. Mew can hang. That's all we see from him this episode. Pan confronts Giru again in a very similar scene to the one they showed us 10 minutes ago. She uses emotional confrontation technique while like walking slowly up to him. And then he hits a button and sucks her into another room. And then she's saved by the mustache droid she met in the prison episode.
Which we, like, at first we're like, who is this?
Yeah, we're like, did I miss something?
I thought it was like in Super where they pull a character out from 1979. And you're like, you remember this fuck?
Ah, mustache droid from our famous manga, Mustache Oru. It's like bo 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 for bots bots bots, you know what I'm saying? Anyway,
bots,
though,
bots
the whole thing is kind of a moot point though, because then Giru hits the button anyway and sucks her through a wall, and then she's sucked outside. The whole planet is Rildo. There are Dragon Balls that roll up to her, and we couldn't tell if this was happening or if Pan was killed or something.
Or if she was like hallucinating, if they were evil or real.
She's like outside all of a sudden, and the Dragon Balls come up to her, and she's like, I found you.
She's
or did
not
you find
outside,
me?
Though. She's like in a weird, like, storage facility.
I don't know if any of this is really happening.
Yeah, and then there was a weird overlay of Goku fighting a guy, so you're like, does she see this? Is this a weird editing technique? Did they run out of money? Am I alive? What's real life? Who are these people? How did I get here?
It's all Rildo.
Where did the polar bear come from? Where did it go?
Where did it go? The whole floor is hot Rildo. the episode ends with just lots of pictures of things and then Rildo's face in them, because Rildo is life. Rildo is love. Long live Rildo. The end. And so that's the episode. Out of 7 Dragon Balls. Katie Rosalie, what are you giving this one? Episode 20, Dragon Ball GT.
I mean, it's hard to even have an opinion on it because, like, I almost feel like I didn't watch anything. I don't know. two Dragon Balls.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to concur with Katie. We watched something, but it sure does not feel like we did.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it 1 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
I feel like that's disingenuous because there was some interesting battling here.
Yeah, I liked Silver Rildo.
Silver Rildo was cool. The big drill attack at the beginning was cool. It was cool enough for at least 2 Dragon Balls, in my opinion. I like the whole Goku-Rildo fight. I like that Rildo was the planet. That's some classic Dragon Ball-ish. The B-plot with Pan, waste of my time. They literally did the same scene over and over again with the same result every time and then threw in some bullshit at the end made me question if it was like even part of the show. So that part gets 0 stars. So the A plot's solid. B plot's got nothing. I'm going to give you 3 out of 7 Dragon Balls because it's just so non-cohesive. But I loved me some Rildo.
How did 2 out of 7 and 0 out of 7 average together to become 3 out of 7?
No, I'm saying it gets at least 2 for the first part, but then
the rest of it adds more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the setting and I like the villain, so it's getting 3, but it doesn't come together enough to be 4.
We forgot to discuss a major thing in relevant anime news.
Oh my god.
New super arc.
Oh, that's the other thing.
I gasped.
Hey, guys, my life's a prison, a Dragon Ball prison, because they're going to be making more super. Keep paying for the Patreon. 1, 2, 3, go. Bots, bots, bots.
Bots, bots, bots.
Why are you
bots,
like
bots.
This? Why are you like this? Bots, bots, bots. Hey, thanks for hanging out.
See you on super.
My life is a hyperbolic time chamber.
Good times.